finally, speakers, make sure you speak in front of the mic. It's being recorded. And then also, when you're asking questions, make sure your last slide remains up on the screen so the questions and answers will be recorded. Do repeat the questions when they're asked so they can also be recorded. Okay, Monica. And then the arrow will move forward or back. And then use the mouse if you want to point, and then we can record that, okay?
Good morning. My name is Monica Daney. I'm a master's student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm advised by Dr. Aaron Silva. And today I'll be discussing how soil aggregation is affected by crop phase in organic row crop rotations. So we started this study with an interest in how we can retain soil carbon in systems where we use tillage for weed control fairly intensively. Our answer to this question was to use sustainable intensification practices in our organic corn, soybean, and wheat rotation, which I've displayed here. By sustainable intensification, what I mean in this context is the increased use of practices that will enhance the environmental qualities of this system without sacrificing yield. To do this, we have introduced biomass or carbon additions to the system through intensified use of cover cropping practices, as well as reducing disturbance with reduced tillage practices where we can. Now, this study is a fairly short one, a 3-year rotation total, and it's very difficult to see any noticeable shifts in soil carbon content in such a short time span in the whole soil. So instead of looking at the whole soil as an indicator of carbon change, what the sustainable intensification study is doing is using very sensitive indicators to account for any soil carbon shifts that might be seen in such a short time scale. The one I'll be focusing on today mainly is soil aggregation. And to discuss why aggregates would be a good indicator of whether or not we might be retaining soil carbon in this system, aggregation is the process by which soil carbon is protected. Aggregates form around organic matter particles that are deposited in the soil as soil particles cling to this organic matter. There's a large body of research suggesting that increased carbon inputs to systems enhance both the stability of aggregates as well as just the general ability for aggregates to form. So as we add more carbon inputs through our increased cover cropping practices, we're not only enhancing the ability for aggregates to form, but also making sure these aggregates are more stable and therefore retaining soil carbon in the system for a longer period of time. Now, as we were going through this study, we realized some very important shifts in the aggregation dynamics were occurring. From year to year, or rather in our crop rotation, from crop phase to crop phase, we noticed that aggregation was not a very stable process, meaning we saw large shifts from one season to the next as the crop phase changed. So we're looking at, with our larger sustainable intensification study, how these crop-specific sustainable intensification practices affect soil carbon protection. And then these aggregate dynamics, these large shifts from year to year that we saw, motivated my specific research question of how is soil aggregation affected by crop phase? With the large body of research suggesting that carbon inputs play a role in both aggregation as well as the stability of these aggregates, I hypothesized that crop phases with increased carbon inputs would enhance soil aggregation and therefore the protection of the soil carbon over phases with lower carbon inputs. Now, the area in which we're asking all of these research questions is the Wisconsin Integrated Cropping Systems Trial, or WICST. It's a very long-term cropping systems trial. It's just finishing up its 26th year of production. This began in 1990. To assess the profitability, productivity, and environmental impacts of various cropping systems in both the cash grain and dairy forage enterprise areas. There are conventional and organic representatives of each of these. Wixt is a randomized complete block design with four blocks, and this aerial photograph shows that plots are rather large, about a third of a hectare, and they are managed with commercial field equipment. Now, the soils at this site are very carbon-rich mollisols. It's a Plano silt loam. A study by Greg Sanford and others in 2012 showed that over the long term, a 20-year time span, all of the cropping systems that incorporated an annual crop phase, so let's see here, whether the system was continuous corn, corn-soybean rotation, our organic corn-soy-wheat rotation, conventional corn alfalfa, or an organic corn alfalfa, every system incorporating an annual phase was losing significant amounts of soil carbon. I particularly draw attention to the organic corn, soybean, wheat, since that is the system we focus. This one was one of the largest in terms of soil carbon losses over this 20-year period. These losses were seen in the entire soil profile as well, from 0 to 90 centimeters. The reason we believe this is because, as I mentioned earlier, the system relies heavily on tillage for mechanical weed control. So in order to assess how aggregates are protecting carbon in this system and whether we're actually enhancing this, we need to separate the whole soil into its constituent parts. The methods I used for this is soil fractionation, developed by Johann Six and others. We begin by sampling the soil to a depth of 15 centimeters. The soils are sieved and in a field moist condition are put through a multi-step wet sieving process, in which we separate out six different soil fractions based on whether they are free within the soil, that is, not contained within another aggregate fraction, or contained within another aggregate fraction or are occluded. They're also separated based on size. Now, I have highlighted on this slide the macro aggregates, and this is the fraction that I'm really going to be focusing on for the rest of my talk. It, as you can see, contains three other fractions, coarse particulate organic matter, occluded microaggregates, and occluded silt and clay fractions. This fraction is responsible, they're the largest soil particles, it's responsible for really this long-term carbon protection that is contained within these smaller particles that the macroaggregates encompass. So in order to determine how well the soil was aggregated, we determined the distribution, the aggregate distribution, so the proportion of all of these aggregates that make up the whole soil. And we found that in terms of macroaggregation, so these largest soil particles, the corn phase of our organic corn-soy-wheat rotation had higher aggregation than its soybean and wheat counterparts overall. And this was true in both of the years we sampled, 2014 and 2015. This is a little odd because in our system, corn is one of the more highly tilled phases. That is to say, there's a lot of disturbance going on. It's not necessarily normal for us to see this level of aggregation in a system such as this. Now, if you remember from my hypothesis earlier, we had hypothesized that the phases with increased carbon inputs would be seeing this enhanced aggregation. And indeed, we do see that the corn phase of this rotation, in terms of kilogram per hectare, is receiving about 3 to 4 times the amount of carbon inputs in terms of both above ground and below ground contributions over its soybean and wheat counterparts. This is a 5-year average of all of the phases of this system. And the components include both dry matter left on the surface after harvest occurs, as well as manure inputs and root residues and root exudates. If we plot the carbon inputs versus macroaggregates, we do seem to see a sort of positive trend occurring in the level of aggregation as affected by carbon. To summarize, crop rotation does appear to affect soil aggregation from phase to phase in our rotation. despite intensive tillage practices going on, the corn phase was better aggregated overall than the soybean or wheat phases that receive slightly less tillage. This study kind of highlights the very dynamic nature of soil aggregation, even within a single rotation. Often when studies use soil aggregates as a metric to compare systems, they will sample over an entire rotation or only in a single phase and compare one phase to another phase. By doing this, we are possibly missing some of the more nuanced effects that are occurring within the system. If the aggregates change so rapidly from season to season or phase to phase, it's quite possible that we're not obtaining the entire picture for our results. By sampling more frequently, we can be sure that we will completely understand the system impact on aggregation, and that's, I suggest that more frequent sampling would be needed to adequately characterize our organic grain systems. I'd like to thank my advisor, Dr. Aaron Silva, as well as my committee members, as well as Silva and Jackson Lab Group members and field crews, as well as our WICST funding agencies and the funding agencies for our larger sustainable intensification study. I thank you, and will entertain any questions at this time.
Thank you, Monica. Quite a few minutes for questions, so Chris, why don't you start?
I have one question, maybe lead to another question or two, and a comment. My first comment is in regards to some of these annual dynamic changes that you're seeing, especially with carbon input into the system, you may want to look at some research that Taycan Faisal did in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
She's looking at a basidium like seed fungus that could contribute to short-term aggregate stabilization on a more seasonal dynamics rather than some long-term changes. My question, so that was my comment.
Yeah.
My question had to do with the method you used for West Civet. I'm assuming it was the NFI normalized stability index, that six tag where you had stacked three stack sieves and you did mm-hmm. three different subsamples.
Yes.
Two stack sieves
mm-hmm.
and three different subsamples.
Uh-huh.
I've used that method in the past. That was sort of my question on making sure you use the NFI. And then my comment with that is that one of the issues that I found with that is that with the way that you're doing the sieving, you would potentially be breaking up aggregates, the macro aggregates, and so you're potentially sort of overcompensating for some of the things in the micro aggregate fraction. And you might be missing some of the dynamics that are happening inside the macro aggregates, that the micro aggregates that may be included inside the macro aggregates may be having in that system.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing was that became more of an issue when you were looking at the silt and clay fraction, separating that out because of the way that the samples would fall through those screens. So you may want to do a little bit of comparison in the future as well. I think that's a good method for looking at some of these short-term dynamics that you were addressing. I think
mm-hmm.
that you may want to maybe do a comparison with the Kemper method as well.
Okay. And I will point out that we were using a field moist soil to kind of reduce as much of that breakup as possible to reduce the air disturbance, but thank you for your comment. And as another part of my master's research, I am looking at the microbial community makeup to kind of assess the levels that to which the bacterial and fungal communities are impacting this process as well.
Okay. I think that KCM did isolate an antibody that you could take a look at, potentially, to compare.
Great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you are talking about.
positively about corn. There's a lot of corn bashing going on. did you speculate why you think corn is having higher macroaggregates? And then what's the implication for people that are out there harvesting all their corn to do and travel around the Midwest?
Repeat the question.
The question was, why might we be seeing the higher aggregation in the corn phase, and what would be some implications for people that harvest all of their corn residue? As I mentioned, I think that despite the heavy tillage in this system, I think that the carbon inputs being so much higher, this carbon is a very high biomass crop in terms of what is left over in our system, at least, compared to the corn and or the soybean and wheat phases. I think the carbon inputs may be playing a somewhat larger role than the tillage itself in terms of keeping these aggregates stable and therefore more resistant to tillage disturbance. Implications for people that harvest their residues, obviously you'd have much less of this carbon returned to the system at the end of the day, or the end of the year, I guess. So that would probably have some pretty large impacts on aggregate stability and reduce the amount of aggregation we see overall. These plots are very small, so they're about 15 by 15 feet. We have 6 of them on each of our large plots, and those are the areas we sampled from. So because they're so close and they all receive the same field-scale equipment to plant and to till throughout the year, there is relatively similar traffic throughout the entire area. In our larger study, we're implementing some of these cover cropping practices and reduced tillage in certain areas of these 15 by 15 foot squares, so there is some traffic that some would see and some others simply because they're so close together. But overall, because it's a large field, it's all treated the same way.
I think we have time for one more quick question and a quick answer.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the question was what time of the year we sampled and whether it was before or after these carbon inputs. We sampled in the fall, so season end, all of these inputs were accounted for already for the most part, the dry matter after harvest.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Monica.
Thank you.